From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, how Hispanic teens take the lead in their own lives. First, though, the snow that fell last night in parts of North Texas didn't cause trouble on the roads this morning. Jesse Moore with the National Weather Service says the ground was too warm for the snow to stick, plus we didn't get the lion's share of it.
Most locations only received a trace of snow. A few places got up to a quarter inch, mainly north of the Metroplex up along the Red River.
Naomi Wood had just returned to Denton after her boyfriend proposed over the weekend in Fort Worth when she found another surprise last night, snow flurries in the window.
I was at my best friend's house showing her the ring and, you know, just sharing in the moment with my friends. It meant a lot to me that it snowed. It felt like a double rainbow.
And it was sort of a lucky snow. Moore says it's the first time North Texas has seen flurries on November 16th specifically, though snow has come earlier in the season before. Now to a leadership summit. Hundreds of Latino teenagers spent 4 days in Dallas for training. It was part of the National Hispanic Institute's annual meeting. As part of KERA's American Graduate Initiative, Bill Zeebel talked with a pair of students from McAllen about stereotypes of South Texas and cultural pride.
Eugenio Trevino and Bianca Mujica attend the Beta Public High School in McAllen, a magnet campus focused on business, education, and technology. Eugenio starts.
People do tend to treat you differently in the sense that, do you speak English very well? Or, oh yeah, yo hablo español también. And I was just like, well, no, I speak English very well. You know, I was raised here. And just because I'm Hispanic doesn't mean, you know, that I have to be that labeled as that minority.
Okay, I went to a summer camp in Houston a few years ago. And when my friends found out that I was from the border, they asked me if I wake up to gunshots every morning. I've never seen so much as a fight in school, much less gunshots. I mean, but these people were 100% serious, and they thought that I legitimately put my life in danger every day just to go to school.
Historically, yes, we are the minority, correct? But, like, I don't consider ourselves a minority. We've grown so much here in this country that we're no longer supposed to be seen as a minority, but maybe, like, equal. I strongly believe that no one should forget where they're from. I guess because home is important.
What's important is not only, you know, being proud of your heritage, but just showing that it doesn't hold you back. If anything, it helps you move forward. Because so many people think that, well, because you're this certain race that you don't get the same opportunities. But I think that because I'm a certain race, I've been pushed to get those opportunities. And I've been pushed to not let anybody else put me down. Being Hispanic is something to be proud of. And being successful as a Hispanic is definitely a goal to strive for.
That's Bianca Mujica with her classmate Eugenio Trevino. He plans to study history and political science at Baylor and possibly run for office someday. She wants to be a reporter and eventually write novels. They were among the hundreds of Latino students in Dallas over the weekend. Bill Zeebel, KERA News.
Now to a special risk for type 1 diabetics prone to eating disorders. They need insulin to survive, but they'll take less or none at all to avoid weight gain. Researchers estimate 10 to 20% of females with diabetes in their mid-teens and 30 to 40% of those in their late teens or young adult years experience diabulimia, an eating disorder with serious consequences. In this edition of Vital Signs, Dr. William Fears with Southwest Endocrinology and Diabetes explains.
Insulin's a hormone that causes your body to take carbohydrate and make it into fat. So a lack of insulin causes you to break down fat. And in women, particularly adolescent girls, they have a certain body image. And so if a person comes up to them and says, oh, you're looking great, you know, because they've lost some weight, then they might stop taking their insulin or cut down on their insulin so that they'll lose weight.
Is this someone who's maybe had some type of eating disorder beforehand or...
There are several things that are tied in with eating disorders, you know, feelings of self-esteem, for example, sexual abuse. Of course, diabetes doesn't improve your self-esteem sometimes because you think, you know, that you're somewhat isolated. If I might digress for just a moment, I wanted to just tell you about a patient that I had. I've been in Dallas for 30 years, and when I first came here, diabetes care was much different than it is now. But I had a adolescent I took care of for quite some time, and she had something going on with her father. I don't think it was as sexual abuse, but I think it was maybe partly the usual things that go along. but she would bring in a fake record of her blood sugars. And being somewhat naive at the time, I would think, well, that this is really what her blood sugars were, and they weren't. Finally, I asked for a meter, and I took a look at it, and her blood sugars were actually, she wasn't checking them. So I confronted her with this. She continued to not control her diabetes. I told her, see another doctor, do whatever you have to do. Let's get you with a psychiatrist. She wouldn't do anything. And while she was in nursing school, her blood sugars were still out of control. Ultimately, she developed complications of diabetes and died at age 24. And I mean, it just tore me up. And I felt like there was nothing I could do.
Were you aware of diabulimia at the time?
Not really. Mm-hmm. We understand eating disorders much better today than we did then. But to get a center going that is devoted to that and has the psychiatric backup and the MD backup that's needed is somewhat difficult to do.
Because it's not a recognized medical condition at this point.
Not really. And it's a little bit of a misnomer because bulimia really usually is thought of as purging and, binging and vomiting and not taking your insulin. But it's still an eating disorder.
There are serious consequences for going without the insulin. In the interim, when you're not taking the insulin, can you pretty much eat what you want without worrying about weight gain?
Well, pretty much. You can eat what you want, but people don't feel good. They're walking around with blood sugars of 400. They won't do well in school. They won't develop normally. Sometimes they have stunted growth, and eventually they get into big trouble.
So even though you're going without that insulin and you think you're avoiding weight gain, you can feel the entire time that this is not good for your body.
Absolutely.
Dr. Fierce, thank you for being with me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.